You are listening to a sermon by Janice Kreider, recorded on Sunday, February 9th, 2014, at the Point Grey Interminonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speaker are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
We've got some help with this reading. And it's from Numbers 21:31 to Numbers 24:25. And you do not have it in your bulletin. Israel settled in the land of the Amorites. Moses sent to spy out Jazer, and they captured its villages and dispossessed the Amorites who were there. Then they turned and went up the road to Bashan, and King Og of Bashan came out against them, he and all his people, to battle at Edrei. But the Lord said to Moses,
"Do not be afraid of him, for I have given him into your hand, with all his people and all his land. You shall do to him as you did to King Sihon of the Amorites, who ruled in Heshbon."
So they killed him, his sons, and all his people, until there was no survivor left, and they took possession of the land. The Israelites set out and camped in the plains of Moab, across the Jordan from Jericho. Now Balak, son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. Moab was in great dread of the people because they were so numerous. Moab was overcome with fear of the people of Israel. And Moab said to the elders of Midian, "The horde will now lick up all that is around us as an ox licks up grass of the field." Now Balak, son of Zippor, was king of Moab at that time. He sent messengers to Balaam, son of Beor, at Pethor, which is on the Euphrates in the land of Ammon, to summon him. So the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the fees for divination in their hand. And they came to Balaam and gave him Balak's message.
"A people has come out of Egypt. They have spread over the face of the earth, and they have settled next to me. Come now, curse this people for me, since they are stronger than I. Perhaps I shall be able to defeat them and drive them from the land. For I know that whoever you bless is blessed, and whoever you curse is cursed.
Stay here tonight, and I will bring back word to you, just as the Lord speaks to me."
So the officials of Moab stayed with Balaam. God came to Balaam.
"Who are these men with you?"
"King Balak, son of Zippor of Moab, has sent me this message. A people has come out of Egypt and has spread over the face of the earth. Now come, curse them for me. Perhaps I shall be able to fight against them and drive them out."
"You shall not go with them. You shall not curse the people, for they are blessed."
So Balaam rose in the morning.
"Go to your own land, for the Lord has refused to let me go with you."
So the officials of Moab rose and went to Balak.
"Balaam refuses to come with us."
Once again, Balak sent officials more numerous and more distinguished than these. They came to Balaam.
"Thus says Balak, son of Zippor, do not let anything hinder you from coming to me, for I will surely do you great honor, and whatever you say to me, I will do. Come, curse this people for me."
"Although Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I could not go beyond the command of the Lord my God to do less or more. You remain here as the others did, so that I may learn what more the Lord may say to me.
That night God came to Balaam.
If the men have come to summon you, get up and go with them, but do only what I tell you to do.
So Balaam got up in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the officials of Moab. God's anger was kindled because he was going, and the angel of the Lord took his stand in the road as his adversary. Now he was riding on the donkey, and his two servants were with him. The donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a drawn sword in his hand. So the donkey turned off the road and went into the field. And Balaam struck the donkey to turn it back onto the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between the vineyards with a wall on either side. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, it scraped against the wall and scraped Balaam's foot against the wall. So he struck it again. Then the angel of the Lord went ahead and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right or to the left. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, it lay down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled, and he struck the donkey with his staff. Then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and it said to Balaam,
"What have I done to you that you have struck me these three times?"
"Because you have made a fool of me. I wish I had a sword in my hand. I would kill you right now."
"Am I not your donkey, which you have ridden all your life to this day? Have I been in the habit of treating you this way?"
"No."
Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with his drawn sword in his hand. And he bowed down, falling on his face. The angel of the Lord said to him,
"Why have you struck your donkey these three times? I have come out as an adversary because your way is perverse before me. The donkey saw me and turned away from me these three times. If it had not turned away from me, surely just now I would have killed you and let it live."
"Well, I have sinned, for I did not know that you were standing in the road to oppose me. Now, therefore, if it is displeasing to you, I will return home."
"Go with the men, but speak only what I tell you to speak."
So Balaam went on with the officials of Balak. When Balak heard that Balaam had come, he came out to meet him at Ir Moab, on the boundary formed by the Arnon at the farthest point of the boundary.
"Did I not send to summon you? Why did you not come to me? Am I not able to honor you?"
"Though I have come to you now, but I do not have power to say just anything. The word God puts in my mouth, that is what I must say."
Then Balaam went with Balak, and they came to Kiriath Huzoth. Balak sacrificed oxen and sheep and sent them to Balaam and to the officials who were with him. On the next day, Balak took Balaam and brought him up to Bamoth Baal, and from there he could see part of the people of Israel.
Build me 7 altars here and prepare 7 bulls and 7 rams for me."
Balak did as Balaam had said, and Balak and Balaam offered a bull and a ram on each altar.
"Stay here beside your burnt offerings while I go aside. Perhaps the Lord will come to meet me. Whatever he shows me, I will tell you."
And he went to a bare height. Then God met Balaam.
"I have arranged the 7 altars and have offered a bull and a ram on each altar."
The Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth.
"Return to Balak, and this is what you must say."
So he returned to Balak, who was standing beside his burnt offerings, with all the officials of Moab. Then Balaam uttered his oracle.
"Balak has brought me from Aram, the king of Moab, from the eastern mountains. Come curse Jacob for me, come denounce Israel. How can I curse whom God has not cursed? How can I denounce those whom the Lord has not denounced? For from the top of the crags I see him, from the hills I behold him. Here is a people living alone and not reckoning itself among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob or number the dust cloud of Israel? Let me die the death of the upright, and let my end be like his.
What have you done to me? I brought you to curse my enemies, but now you have done nothing but bless them.
Must I not take care to say what the Lord puts in my mouth?
Come with me to another place from which you may see them. You shall see only part of them, and shall not see all of them. Then curse them for me from there.
So he took him to the field of Zophim, to the top of Pisgah. He built 7 altars and offered a bull and a ram on each altar.
Stand here beside your burnt offerings while I meet the Lord over there.
The Lord met Balaam and put a word into his mouth.
Return to Balak, and this is what you shall say.
When he came to him, he was standing by his burnt offerings with the officials of Moab.
What has the Lord said?
Then Balaam uttered his oracle.
Rise, Balak, and hear. Listen to me, O son of Zippor. God is not a human being that he should lie, or a mortal that he should change his mind. Has he promised, and will he not do it? Has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? See, I received a command to bless. He has blessed, and I cannot revoke it. He has not beheld misfortune in Jacob, nor has he seen trouble in Israel. The Lord their God is with them, acclaimed as a king among them. God, who brings them out of Egypt, is like the horns of a wild ox for them. Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, no divination against Israel. Now it shall be said of Jacob and Israel, see what God has done. Look, a people rising up like a lioness and rousing itself like a lion. It does not lie down until it has eaten the prey and drunk the blood of the slain.
Do not curse them at all, and do not bless them at all.
Did I not tell you? Whatever the Lord says, that is what I must do.
Come now, I will take you to another place. Perhaps it will please God that you may curse them for me from there.
So Balak took Balaam to the top of Peor, which overlooks the wasteland.
Build me 7 altars here, prepare 7 bulls and 7 rams for me.
So Balak did as Balaam had said and offered a bull and a ram on each altar. Now Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, so he did not go, as at other times, to look for omens, but set his face toward the wilderness. Balaam looked up and saw Israel camping, tribe by tribe. Then the Spirit of God came upon him, and he uttered his oracle.
The oracle of Balaam, son of Beor, the oracle of the man whose eye is clear, the oracle of one who hears the words of God, who sees the vision of the Almighty, who falls down but with eyes uncovered. How fair are your tents, O Jacob, your encampments, O Israel. Like palm groves that stretch far away, like gardens beside a river, like aloes that the Lord has planted, like cedar trees beside the waters. Water shall flow from his buckets, and his seed shall have abundant water. His king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. God who brings him out of Egypt is like the horns of a wild ox for him. He shall devour the nations that are his foes and break his bones. He shall strike with his arrows. He crouched, he lay down like a lion and like a lioness. Who will rouse him up? Blessed is everyone who blesses you. And cursed is everyone who curses you.
Then Balak's anger was kindled against Balaam, and he struck his hands together.
I summoned you to curse my enemies, but instead you have blessed them three times. Now be off with you. Go home. I said I will reward you richly, but the Lord has denied you any reward.
Did I not tell your messengers, whom you sent to me, if Balak should give me his house full of silver and gold, I would not be able to go beyond the word of the Lord, to do either good or bad of my own will? What the Lord says, that is what I will say. So now I am going to my people. Let me advise you what this people will do to your people in the days to come.
So he uttered his oracle.
The oracle of Balaam, son of Beor. The oracle of the man whose eye is clear. The oracle of one who hears the words of God and knows the knowledge of the Most High. Who sees the vision of the Almighty, falls down, but his eyes are uncovered. I see him, but not now. I behold, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise of Israel. This shall crush the borderlands of Moab and the territory, and all of the Sheites. Edom will become a possession, Seir a possession of its enemies, while Israel does violently. One out of Jacob shall rule and destroy the survivors of Ur.
Then he looked on Amalek and uttered his oracle.
First among the nations was Amalek, but its end is to perish forever.
Then he looked on the Kenite and uttered his oracle.
Enduring is your dwelling place, and your nest is set in the rock, yet Cain is destined for burning. How long shall Asher take you away captive?
Again he uttered his oracle.
Alas, who shall live when God does this? But ships shall come from Kittim and shall afflict Asher and Eber, and he also shall perish forever.
Then Balaam got up and went back to his place, and Balak also went his way. So thanks to everybody who took part in that, and thanks for your attention. I think it's good to hear this kind of story from beginning to end. And I chose it because of verse 5 in Micah 6. O my people, remember now what King Balak of Moab devised, and what Balaam, son of Beor, answered him, and what happened from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the saving acts of the Lord. The verse refers to two saving acts of the Lord, the story we're hearing right now. And the second one is what happened to Shittim, from Shittim to Gilgal. These are two places, one on the east side of the Jordan River and one on the west side. The Israelites peacefully crossed the Jordan River from Shittim to Gilgal, similar to how they crossed the Red Sea years before. But this time they weren't chased. The tabernacle was instrumental in parting the river so they could cross. And our story today took place on the east side of the Jordan River before this memorable crossing. Well, there are some interesting elements in the Balaam story, even if we don't talk about the donkey. First of all is the person of Balaam. Balaam was seen as a holy man with some kind of direct contact with a supreme being or with successful magic. It was known that whomever he cursed would be cursed and vice versa. He was not an Israelite, and yet he believed enough in the God of the Israelites to seek the Lord's advice on whether to go to Moab with King Balak's men. And he sought direction of the Lord before he gave those first two oracles. Before the third oracle, the Spirit of God came upon him. by the fourth oracle, and that's the couple verses in the bulletin, there's no mention of asking the Lord for guidance or the Spirit of God coming upon him. But he seems to be hitting stride, perhaps falling down in ecstasy. And he used three names for the Supreme Being: God, Most High, and Almighty, pretty well covering the bases there. Balaam seemed to desire to be a prophet of integrity, refusing gifts or bribes. And one exception is King Balak's initial gift of a sacrifice of oxen and sheep for Balaam and his officials upon their arrival. But that may, I'm just guessing here, that may have been more a matter of hospitality than a bribe. Balaam stood up to increasing pressure from King Balak. Somehow Balaam was firm in his belief that the people of Israel were special and blessed by God. And he was aware there was no way he could go against that blessing. In Micah, we read, "Shall I come before him with burnt offerings and with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams?" Well, Balaam didn't call for thousands of rams, but he called for 42 animals to be sacrificed. And King Balak had the resources and the motivation to follow through. So we've heard a story of a peaceful time between the Israelites and Moab. King Balak was upset with these unwelcome and numerous immigrants, and he wanted to attack them, but was held back because Balaam could not put a curse on them. King Balak needed that curse in order to go forward, and the Israelites were seemingly unaware of what was happening in this story. Behind the scenes, their Lord was in charge. Our story today ended, and everybody lived happily ever after. But unfortunately, there's another next chapter. There's more. The peace was temporary. The story goes on. It turns out that Balaam was not necessarily a man of integrity. Perhaps in his heart, he wanted to curse the Israelites and help King Balak out of his problems. In any case, Balaam realized there was another way to undermine the special relationship that the Israelites had with their God. There was a way that the blessing of God could disintegrate. The first commandment, "You shall have no other gods before me," was crucial to the Israelites' identity as well as their being a blessed group of people. Because King Balak did not attack the Israelites, they lived near the Moabites and the Midianites, and they were exposed to the local gods and their practices. Balaam advised the Moabites and the Midianites to lure the people of Israel into joining them in some of their religious practices, which were sexual in nature and hard to resist. A plague in Israel followed. People died. One of Moses' last acts was to lead the Israelites against the Midianites, and they killed Balaam by the sword. Now, that's not how he wanted to die, according to what he said in one of the oracles. So, although Balaam was instrumental in the temporary peace between Israel and the Moabites and Midianites, he was later instrumental for a time of religious upheaval and violence and death. The story went on. And the story goes on. There came a time of famine. A family from Israel fled to Moab. They stayed there for 10 years. The wife and two daughters-in-law became widows. The famine ended in Israel, so the wife and one daughter-in-law returned. The daughter-in-law was a native of Moab. As you probably realize by now, her name was Ruth. And she became the great-grandmother of King David and an ancestor of Jesus. The tradition is that the Moabites descended from an incestuous union between Lot and his daughter. So out of a totally questionable background, the royal line was created. And the story goes on. Israel was blessed by the Lord, but not everything was as ideal as what it could have been in their new land. They decided to have a king, and they had a lot of inept kings. They split into two countries. They had troubles with their neighbors. They were deported to another land and culture. Only a small number of them were fortunate to return to their own land. They had difficulty remembering what their religion was all about and what the essence of their religion should be, hence the prophets and the passage in Micah that we read today. But out of this poor, oppressed, and confused milieu, a person emerged whom we know as Jesus, the inspiration for Christians all over the world in the last two centuries. The story goes on. Today, we are thankful that we live in a democratic and peaceful country that has religious freedom, health care, and a good economic base. But this could be a temporary peace for us, as it was for the Mennonites in Russia. Developed countries such as our own may be at risk because there's so much inequity in the world in terms of peace, religious freedom, health care, and economics. I'm reminded of these inequities at the MCC Food Bank. This past week, I talked with a man from Colombia. And he was, in his country, he was a Mennonite leader, maybe a pastor. Here, he is learning English and working part-time as a janitor in a church to support his wife and baby daughter. He talked about the corruptness and violence that permeates life in Colombia. We certainly hope that the story will go on in a more positive way for him and his family and for countries like Colombia. The story goes on. We appreciate times of health, but illness can strike. Tomorrow, we celebrate Family Day and are thankful for happy families, but we know that some families are dysfunctional. We are thankful for a beautiful and clean environment in this part of the world, but we know there are threats to our air, water, and land. We are aware that not everybody lives happily ever after. Who is in charge of these stories? At the time it was happening, the Israelites were not aware of God's revelations to Balaam that ended up saving them. And there are stories of when the Israelites trusted God and when they did not trust God, but instead took ill-advised actions on their own with quite mixed results. We do not know the future, but we know the story goes on. Faith and trust are crucial. And I'd like to close with two selections, one from the Old Testament, one from the New Testament. First, some wry advice from Jesus in Matthew 6:34. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. And then some helpful words from Proverbs 3, 5 to 8. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing for your flesh and a refreshment for your body. Thank you.